It is a prayer for the dead. Hail Mole Rachamim. Hear him with reverence. For it is no ordinary prayer, and an ordinary prayer, ordinary dead. They are the dead of the Warsaw Ghetto, the scapegoats of the centuries. Once the priest robed himself in linen and stood on Sinai in a convocation of Israel. And they brought unto him a live goat, chosen by lot. And he laid his hands on the goat's head and confessed over it the iniquities of the people. And he released the goat, and its name was Azazel, scapegoat. And it fled into the wilderness. But for them in the ghetto of Warsaw, there was no release. There was only the abyss. Ghetto, 35,000 stood their ground against an army of the Third Reich, and 25,000 fell. They sleep in their common graves, but they have vindicated their birthright. Therefore, let him sing, for they have made an offering by fire and an atonement unto the Lord, and they have earned their sleep.
My name was Isaac Davidson, and I lived in the Polish city of Lublin with my wife, Vora, and Samuel, our son. When Poland fell, they herded us into a cattle car and transported us to the ghetto of Warsaw. It was a place in purgatory, and around that purgatory they had built a brick wall, and around the brick wall another wall of barbed wire. And beyond the barbed wire stood a third wall of soldiers armed with bayonets.
All right, there. Move on. Next.
Your name?
Isaac Davidson.
Who are they?
Vora Davidson, Samuel Davidson, my wife, my son.
Three blue cards. Get along.
Next. Move on. Pick up your feet and help off, you know.
Three blue cards stamped with the letter J. Bread card. Each card a pound of bread a week. As precious as life. Vora held the cards in her hand, and we went to the tenement in the Farda district. To the place where we were to live. We went up the stairs of the tenement, and Samuel and I waited in the hall while Vora spoke to the woman who lived there.
Yes? They said you would know where we are supposed to stay.
Oh. Come in. This is where you stay. In this room.
But you live here.
In this corner. The other corner's yours.
But I thought...
Oh, you don't know how lucky you are. This room has a window.
Perhaps we shouldn't trouble you. Maybe some other place.
Oh, you'll find out. Before they wore the ghetto, 50,000 people lived in these slums.
Yes, but...
Do you know how many there are here now? 500,000. Half a million. I know a man who sleeps in a vault in a cemetery. Don't be a fool. Come in. It's still better than a cemetery.
That was our room, and because Vora lived in it, it was also our home. There was no soap, but she cleaned it. There were no needles, but she made a cloth for the table. There was no lamp in it, yet she filled it with light. And then when she found a box, our son Samuel scrabbled up some earth and a few pathetic blades of grass, and Vora put the box on the sill of the window.
There. Now our house has a God.
Yes, Vora, our house has a God.
You say it as though it is not true.
But, Vora...
Look, Isaac. Look at the sun. There is no land where the sun does not shine. Now let it shine here on something green in the ghetto.
Green grass in the Warsaw ghetto. A few pathetic blades of green in the scrabbled earth. But a sign of living spirit and a proof that where the spirit lives, there can be no degradation. There in this place of death, shut off, walled in, foredoomed, there were things of the spirit done by men and women like Vora. In the ghetto of Warsaw, there was beauty and comradeship and learning.
Now we'll see if you have learned your lesson. There are 7 marks of an uncultured man and 7 marks of a wise man. Do you know what they are, Samuel?
The wise man does not speak before him who is greater in wisdom and does not break in on the speech of his fellow. He is not hasty to answer. He questions according to the subject matter and answers to the point. He speaks upon the first things first and upon the last last. Regarding that which he has not understood, he says, I do not understand it. And he acknowledges the truth.
And the mark of an uncultured man?
The reverse of all these things.
Very good, Samuel. You're a good boy.
Weismann's theory of germinal continuity. Teacher, I can't finish the recitation when they talk.
Please, all of you. This is a classroom in the ghetto. It's different from other classrooms. We must be an example. Go on, Esther. The theory of germinal continuity.
The germ contains living material which has come down in unbroken continuity ever since the origin of life and which is destined to persist in some form as long as life itself. While Weismann's name is chiefly associated with this theory...
I thought this was a class in sculpture. Apparently I'm wrong. What's this supposed to be?
I don't know. Maybe I'm one of those surrealists.
Well, don't give up. I'll make a sculptor out of you yet.
Oh, it's all right with me. If you're willing, I'm willing. But my father made me a plumber, and I guess I'll always be a plumber. Now, if I had my tools and a piece of brass pipe, I'd show you some real sculpture.
Say, ah. Ah. Wider. A little more. That will do, boy. Why didn't you bring him earlier?
It's my fault. I didn't know there was a clinic.
His tonsils are badly infected. They'll have to come out.
I don't have any money to pay you.
There's nothing to pay here. Money can't buy what no one will sell to us.
No?
No. We need drugs, instruments, anesthesia.
Then you operate without anesthesia.
Please, doctor, will it hurt?
Yes, it will hurt. In the ghetto, everything hurts. Perhaps tomorrow it will be different.
The ghetto waited for tomorrow. It tried to do so with dignity and self-respect. Sometimes it was hard, but the ghetto tried. In the cellars of the tenements, the children went to classes, and wherever there was a patch of dirt, the older boys studied agriculture. Carpenters taught their trade to clerks with thin chests. The watchmakers and the leather workers opened trade schools. The artists taught their art. And all of this was free. Whoever wanted to learn was welcome. It was a somber, grim, melancholy place, heavy with a foreboding of death. But we encouraged each other to work and to study and to laugh. Yes, to laugh also. We organized 4 theaters. But our greatest pride, our finest symbol, was our orchestra, the Ghetto Symphony.
We'll try it again from the same place. Now, please watch the stick. Now we're going to start together and we're going to finish together. All right now? Watch the stick.
We sat and listened to the ghetto symphony, feeding our hunger on the clear, sweet sound. But since the Heron folk, the master race that erected the walls, since they intended that we should be hungry, they came and confiscated some of the instruments. First, they took only a few, then more. Our orchestra dwindled. It became an ensemble. And then the Heron folk came again and stole more instruments. The ensemble became a quartet. And then a single solo violin was left. Why did they do it? Perhaps it irritated them, Jews satisfying a hunger. We were left with hunger. And where there is hunger, the plague always follows. The plague came, and 17,800 persons died of spotted typhus in Warsaw. And of these, 15,758 were Jews. A pestilence imprisoned behind a brick wall. A great achievement of medical science. I say it without irony. Yes, 15,758. And Vora Davidson, my wife, 15,759. Samuel, leave her. You cannot help her anymore.
Mama.
Come here. Come here, Samuel. She cannot hear you. You are a big boy. You mustn't cry. Here. Let me wash your face. She wouldn't like to see you with a dirty face. Stop crying now. Will you do something for me, Samuel?
Yes, if I can.
I want you to go to your corner. I want you to try to go to sleep.
I couldn't sleep, Papa.
Then go to your corner and turn your face away. Mind me. Do as your father says. That's right. To the wall. You are a good boy, Sam.
You will not hurt your Papa.
No one can hurt her. I am taking off her clothes. Her apron. Her dress. Uncle of room shoes. Everything. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither.
You are going to carry her into the street?
Yes. After dark, I am going to carry her into the street, and I will leave her there. Cold, naked, nameless. You know why I must do this, Samuel. They must not be able to identify her. They must not know who she is.
It's because of the bread card, Papa.
Yes, it's because of the bread card. If they identify her as Vora Davidson, they will take it away. They must not be able to identify her.
Please, Papa, please, let them take it away. Don't leave her in the street.
It is her last wish, Samuel. The bread card is for you. Honor her last wish. The blue card with the letter J. A pound of bread a week for her son.
I won't take it. I can't.
You must, Samuel. Once you took her milk, now you must take her bread. She leaves you nothing else. You must take it, Samuel. It is your inheritance.
Yisgadal v'yisgadash shemei rabo. Ve'olmo divro chirusei, ve'yamlich malchusei, ve'chayechon uv'yomechon, uv'chayei dechol beis Yisrael, ba'golo uv'zman koriv, ve'yimru amen.
This was our degradation. In the ghetto of Warsaw, we divided dead men's bread. Have you tasted dead men's bread? The taste is bitter, and it is dry in the mouth because the saliva will not flow. This is what we ate, and this is how we lived, the 500,000 of the Warsaw Ghetto. But not 500,000 for long. On June the 22nd, 1942, armored cars escorted a convoy of black trucks into the ghetto. They seized men and women and children and packed them into the trucks, and these were the uncoffined dead who never returned. And each day thereafter, the black trucks came, and each day when they left, there was weeping in the ghetto. I have seen the faces of the men that did these things, the men who came in the armored cars. They were men like other men. Some were old, some were young, with eyes, with skin and flesh and nails and the requisite number of fingers. I looked into their faces and did not believe. But the trucks continued to come. And it must be said that if the thing that they did was monstrous, it was a monstrous thing done with order and with method. For they take pride in order.
July 22nd, 1942.
6,289.
Destination Treblinka.
July
23rd. 7,815.
Destination Oswiecim.
July
24th. 7,444.
Destination Belzec.
July 23rd.
Done with method, precise, efficient, recorded. To Treblinka, Oswiecim, Belzec, Sobibor, Majdanyi. A lethal gas chamber, an electric furnace, a poison pit, an execution field, a cemetery. And add also 10,000 brave, hopeless, tragic men who seized sticks and stones and knives and bare fists and charged the tanks and tried to halt the trucks. Add their bodies to the list for the 10 days of June 1942. Make your total and then add two precise, methodical, documented months in August and September 1942. Reckon it. Do it carefully. You cannot do it on your fingers. No. Let me give you the sum. Listen. 275,954 fewer bread cards in the ghetto. Swift, accurate, final. Quicker than typhus. Surer than hunger. They sent the black trucks because the hunger and the pestilence were too slow and too merciful. When we were starving, we beseeched the civilized world for food. And when the plague struck us, we appealed for simple things, for soap, medicine, for tools for our physician. But when the black trucks came, we no longer asked for rescue. We no longer asked for mercy. We asked for weapons. Through the Polish underground, which carried our appeals, we asked England, Russia, and the United States for weapons. And there was silence. You did not answer. And then through the Polish underground, there came your answer. Resolutions of sympathy, phrased with felicity. It was a greater injury than silence. I who know can say to you that the grave does not yield its tenant for such coin, nor will such coin inspire the enemy to lie down and crimson the gutter with his blood. We waited for weapons that did not come. 500,000 waited. 300,000 waited. 100,000 waited. And finally, 35,000 waited who did not know where to look. But the answer came from under their feet, from the sewer under the Warsaw Ghetto.
Carry it gently, Conway. Don't let it fall.
Carry it as though it were a case of eggs.
More gently than that, Conway.
What? Could be more fragile in a case of eggs.
A case of dynamite. Here we are.
The ghetto council would like to know your name.
What difference does it make?
They want to thank you.
Tell them to thank the Polish underground. And take good care of those barracks. There are enough grenades in them to blow up every Jew in the ghetto.
Then there must be enough grenades in them to blow up every German in Warsaw.
I'm glad you see it that way.
What do you think we've been waiting for?
April 19th, 1943. 35,000 men, women, children stood ready. It was the day. Trenches were dug during the night. Every house, every room, every cellar, every roof was prepared. At 4 a.m., a detachment of stormtroopers and light tanks escorted the black truck to the walls of the ghetto. They came as usual on their daily errand. We waited until the vehicles were within range. Fire! The entire detachment was wiped out. In a few hours, they came again. SS troops, stormtroopers. Our snipers manned the ghetto wall itself. We were ready. They brought up a loudspeaker.
Jules, put down your guns. You haven't a chance in the world against us. Put down your guns, Jules. We will give you 15 minutes to make up your minds, and then we will come after you. Jules, put down your guns. It's your last chance.
That was the answer. That and the flags of the United Nations which floated over the roofs of the ghetto. More answers. 800 answers. 800 factories producing material for Germany blown up by our engineers.
Jules, you still have another chance. Put down your guns, Jules. Put them down and come out of the building, and you will be treated with mercy.
That voice was silenced, but they brought up the regular army. The ghetto had defeated the stormtroopers, and now it was the ghetto against the German army. We retreated slowly from our positions as they sent flamethrowers, mortar, cannon, tanks, and planes against us.
April 20th, April 25th, May 2nd, May 6th, May 10th, May 14th, May 18th, May 20th, May 22nd, May 25th.
They planted landmines under the tenements and blew them up one by one. The tenements crumbled, but from the rubble of the shattered cellars, the snipers kept up a continuous fire. The surviving men and women and children retreated slowly from house to house, erecting barricades in the streets, paying with their lives for every tenement, every room, every step of the way. When their ammunition ran out, they used broken furniture as clubs and hurled stones. On the 20th day, the enemy shut off the water supply, and planes dropped incendiary bombs. The entire ghetto was in flames. Those who were not burned alive were slaughtered by the Nazis.
Isaac Davidson. Isaac. Here. In the trench.
His right arm had been blown off at the elbow. I spoke to him. Here, let me tie a tourniquet round your arm.
Don't waste the bandage on me. Tell me how it is going.
We're still fighting.
After 37 days. A few Jews with guns fighting a Nazi army for 37 days.
The blood ran from the shattered stump and soaked the ground, but he smiled.
They are really very foolish. They should have known that the ghetto would explode.
They know now, my friend.
How many did we kill?
Some say 1,000, some say 1,200. The smile lingered on his lips, even as his eyes began to glaze. And he spoke an epitaph for the Warsaw ghetto.
It is not for thee to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it. Tell them to mark that on my grave.
Yes, tell them to mark it on our graves. It is not for thee to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it.
Amitzei menuchanecho na Tachas kanefei ha-shechino.
Hear him with reverence, for he sings a prayer for the dead. 25,000 dead. It is no ordinary prayer, and they are not ordinary dead. But they are the dead of the Warsaw Ghetto in the year 1943. Tonight, they sleep in their last trench, their choirs dispersed in ashes, their holy books sodden in the seventh month rain, the rubble deep on the thresholds of their houses. They were Jews with guns. Understand that, and hear him with reverence as he chants the prayer. For on the page of their agony, they wrote a sentence that shall be an atonement, and it is this. Give me grace, and give me dignity, and teach me to die. And let my prison be a fortress, and my wailing wall a stockade. For I have been to Egypt, and I am not departed.
Thank you, Raymond Massey and members of the cast, for a memorable performance. Copies of the script may be obtained free of cost by writing to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. The Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto was written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was arranged by Morris Marmorski and conducted by Milton Caton. The liturgical music was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple in Brookline, Massachusetts. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leder. This program has come to you as a public service of the National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, to mark the liberation of Warsaw. The Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto was produced last year under the auspices of the American Jewish Committee and selected as a prize war script by the Writers' War Board. For free copies, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Mm-hmm.